We'll proceed to the fourth case, Keitlinger v. Napolitano. Mr. Lerner?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This particular case seems to have come down to one issue, and that is the due process that was not afforded the client at the time that the request for evidence was issued, way back when the petition to remove the conditional residency was filed at the USCIS. I'd like to note that there is virtually nothing in the appellee's briefing regarding whether this was or wasn't a due process violation, why a request for evidence was issued giving 84 days to respond, yet a decision was issued after 20 days without giving the opportunity to respond. No admissions, nothing. It's void. And the bottom line comes when someone is under administrative law and there's rules and regulations and they're given notice of when they have to respond to something, and then that notice is not abided by. It clearly, in our view, is a violation of due process. And what has occurred because of that is this person was put into removal proceedings, and everything that occurred in years past then came from those removal proceedings. But the initial action that went in the U.S. District Court did not have to do with the removal proceedings themselves. There's nothing in the action to the District Court regarding the discretion of the judge, regarding the bona fides of the marriage, and so forth. It had to do, again, with the sole issue of whether or not the due process was violated when the request for evidence was issued and how that could be rectified. The due process violation is what caused the person to go into removal proceedings. Had the entire 84 days been given, which was stated it would be given, for the person to respond, appellant would have shown that the current marriage was valid, would have shown that there was a divorce of the first one and that the original voidable marriage now became valid, and everything would have been answered because that was the only issue in the request for evidence. There was no issues regarding the bona fides of the marriage. There was no issue regarding the validity or how the appellant would respond to other issues and questions and so forth. So the fact that everything is being pulled together to show that the only reason it went to the district court was to try to attack a removal order is untrue, in that it goes way before the person ever got into removal proceedings.
Now, may I ask, if the district court has had jurisdiction and then agreed with you, your position on the merits as to the due process violation, that would require, wouldn't it, the vacature of the removal order?
Yes.
And so your claim really is a challenge to the removal order.
The vacation of the removal order itself is not the challenge, but in order to go back to USCIS, in order to give USCIS jurisdiction to issue the proper RFE, they would have to not have a removal order sitting on the records. Otherwise, they don't have jurisdiction. So the entire ruling as to whether there's a due process violation or not, yes, the end result would have to say that the removal order itself would have to be vacated to again give USCIS jurisdiction over the case to address the due process issue in the first place. Now, the briefing on the appellee stated that there was no prejudice to appellant. But, of course, there's prejudice. appellant, her son. They were put in removal proceedings. It was denied. They have orders of removal right now. They're under supervised release, meaning that at any time they could go in there and be deported back to their home country. That certainly is prejudice, because if the original request for evidence had been complied with the date that it was stated on there, none of this would have happened, and they wouldn't have ever been put into removal proceedings in the first place. So when the U.S. District Court characterized or states that appellant is mischaracterizing the nature of the proceedings in the first place, that's not true. I mean, it is going to the initial act, which was before removal proceedings ever started, and that is what the nature of the proceedings was about. If this court were to deny, then there's essentially no judicial forum for someone who has their due process violated at the USCIS through administrative law to go to, because essentially she was immediately put into removal proceedings after the RFE was denied.
Could she raise it in the removal proceedings?
I'm uncertain, Your Honor. I'm uncertain. But whether she did or not shouldn't be a factor as to whether she's able to go to the U.S. District Court and apply to try to rectify the issue, because the reality is that she could have gone to the District Court and done a petition for review, but for whatever reason, such as maybe the bona fides issue she didn't want to deal with, or the credibility issue, whatever it is. Those are different issues that certainly could have been taken up on a petition for review. But the law states that if she wanted to go and do a due process argument at the U.S. District Court, it should have been allowed at that time. And I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Lerner. Mr. Gabor?
May it please the Court, Aram Gavor representing the federal government appellees. What opposing counsel is positing is simply not correct. This case is rather straightforward. It's quite simple, really, insofar that the very order that appellants would be challenging in district court arises from the removal context. And because it arises from the removal context, the jurisdiction channeling provisions of 8 U.S.C. Section 1252, A5, and B9 would necessarily divest the district court of jurisdiction and require that a timely filed petition for review to the Eighth Circuit be put into place within 2 months of the final order of removal by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Before I proceed with our direct arguments, I'd like to respond to opposing counsel's contention about due process. It is simply not correct. Opposing counsel is describing USCIS's denial of the second I-751, the basis of which an NTA, a notice to appear, was issued, which placed appellants into removal proceedings. The issuance of a notice to appear is not reviewable by any court. It is by strict discretion of the Attorney General of the United States. But nonetheless, there is process for the I-751, or the petition to remove conditions on residence, to be reviewed before federal courts. And the process is as follows. An immigration judge in removal proceedings may review an I-751 petition. That review is de novo. The immigration judge does not need to abide by the findings of United States and Citizenship and Immigration Services in rendering his findings and his conclusions. In a case such as this one, the immigration judge declined to approve the I-751 for the same basis that United States Citizenship and Immigration Services declined and denied the two previous I-751s. That denial was a superseding denial and the sole available decision that's reviewable by any federal court via exhaustion of administrative remedies through the Board of Immigration Appeals and then through a timely petition for review. Because the removal proceedings took place in St. Louis, Missouri, Section 1252b2 requires that the petition for review would have needed to have been filed before the Eighth Circuit. That did not happen here. What is happening is that appellants represented by counsel had sat on their rights. Appellants represented by counsel filed improperly a complaint in the Southern District of Illinois seeking review of something that is simply not allowed by the unmistakable intent of Congress. Moving forward, 8 U.S.C. Section 1252A5 provides the exclusive means of review of items or matters relating to a removal order in the circuit court, in the courts of appeals. 8 U.S.C. Section 1252B9 is a zipper clause, so to say, that consolidates all questions relating to removal to the circuit courts so that the evil of having multiple venues and fora for the same issue does not clog the courts. That is what happened here, and that is simply why the motion to dismiss was granted and why this circuit should affirm the district court's motion to dismiss.
Thank you. Dr. Lerner?
Okay, may it please the court. What if appellant never was in removal proceedings and had just been issued a denial of the RFE? There's lots of people who are not immediately put in. Now, the question would be, if this person was never met in removal proceedings and had a denial of the petition to remove conditional residence, where would she go if there was a violation of due process? She would go to the U.S. District Court. So the fact that there was an intervening removal proceedings in the process shouldn't take out her ability to go to the U.S. District Court for that. And I would like to note, additionally, in counsel's argument, there was no explanation as to why RFE that's given 84 days in which to respond is denied without response after 20 days. The fact that an immigration judge has the ability de novo to review a petition for conditional residence doesn't make the violation of due process disappear. Just because she might have had another right to go at it again for whatever reason, we shouldn't say that because of that, the fact that she had a due process violation in the past is irrelevant. Because if that's the case, then under administrative law, they can give notice to do whatever they want, just disregard their rules, their own notices, and go at it as they will, and then get them into removal proceedings. There was a mischaracterization as to why the immigration judge denied the petition to remove the conditional residency. It was not the same as USCIS. USCIS issued an RFE for the sole purpose because they thought that the fact that this person got married twice while still being married back in the Philippines meant that she did not have a valid marriage. The evidence that would have been submitted would have shown that under the law of the state which she lived in, that she would have submitted a proper divorce which made a voidable marriage valid. And that's all the issues. The immigration judge denied the case based upon credibility issues and the bona fides of the marriage itself. So given that, I will submit.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lerner. Thank you, Mr. Gower. The case is taken under advisement.